understand.
I hear somebody say, I can't pray because I'm driving. You don't have to close your eyes to pray.
That's right.
Do I have a witness?
That's right.
Prayer can be audible,
yeah.
Silent, private,
yeah.
Or public, formal or informal.
Yeah.
It's an avenue that God has provided, prayer,
yeah.
For us to always be in touch.
Yeah.
When nobody else wants to hear me. When other people get sick and tired of hearing this loudmouth preacher, I'm so glad I can go to God in prayer.
That's right.
Amen. Remember, we're talking about prayer is not a magic formula. In Acts chapter 16, some of us are familiar. Paul and Silas were prayer partners. All right? But they still went to jail. Did y'all hear that? I said, sometimes we pray like God's going to stop us from having trouble. Paul and Silas prayed,
yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
But they still went to jail.
That's right.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
But remember, because God has purpose for everything, the jailer and his family got saved because Paul and Silas went to jail. Sometimes God will lock you up in order to free you up.
That's right.
Sometimes we get so busy,
yeah.
Caught up with outside world,
yeah.
God says, I've got to incarcerate you,
yeah.
To get you in a place,
yeah.
Where I can talk to you,
yeah.
And you listen to me.
That's
and
right.
You're here.
That's right.
I hate to say it, but I heard somebody say one time, I prayed that my child would get locked up so they wouldn't get killed out here. Hello, somebody. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John were preaching. It's all through the Bible about prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer is not a magic formula.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were preaching about Jesus, but they still got arrested.
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
That's right.
I used to think that when I was new in Christ that all I had to do was pray. And I wouldn't have no more problems.
Yeah.
But I found out after I started praying, it seemed like I got more problems.
That's right.
Y'all ain't gonna help me. I wish I had some testifying saints in here today.
Yeah.
Y'all all quiet up. Yeah. The truth will set you free.
Right.
You thought your prayer was gonna make things better.
Yeah.
God says, I didn't never tell you that. That's why I'm preaching this part too. Prayer is not a magic formula. Don't blame God. Talk about he didn't answer your prayer. He never promised that he would answer every prayer. Praying doesn't mean you won't suffer trials and tribulation. Who told you that lie? The Bible says in this world you shall have tribulation. You will be pressured. You will get stressed out. Who told you that sent you a prayer and sent you decided you're going to stop going to church? Like you're doing God a favor. God says you're doing what you ought to be doing. Because if you're not in here, you're going to be somewhere else. Perhaps where you ought not be. Prayer doesn't mean you won't suffer trials and tribulation, but it does show us that God can use you or me in the midst of tribulation.
That's right.
He can use you and I even when we're going through.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Notice also that they prayed from a genuine commitment in their prayer, because everybody's not praying phony prayers. Some people are really serious, consecrated. They're praying from their heart. But in these instances, somebody needs to hear God. They prayed sincerely, fervently, but the persecution issue actually got worse after the church prayed.
Yeah.
I'm learning that.
Yeah.
I've been praying about some stuff, Sister Mary, for years.
Yeah.
Say, God, what did I do? I'm praying. Oftentimes, it's not because God's not going to answer your prayer. It's just not time.
That's right.
And then sometimes God's waiting on me and you and you and you and you and you and everybody else.
That's right.
In other words, prayer doesn't always fix things.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says sometimes in these instances I just gave you in Acts, the problem remained.
Yeah.
See, sometimes prayer will fix you. To be able to deal with it.
Yeah.
We trying to get prayer to God to change that.
Yeah.
God says, no, I'm going to leave that alone. You are going to pray and that prayer is going to change you.
That's right.
I wish somebody would.
Yeah.
See, prayer can change the situation or the variables of the situation. Because I don't want anybody to say, see, well, I'm going to stop praying. Don't let the devil tell you that lie.
Amen.
If I was you, I'd stop praying. If you start doing that, the devil got you right where he wants you.
That's right.
Didn't Jesus pray before he went to the cross?
Yeah.
His prayer didn't stop him. I'm so glad it didn't. He had to go to the cross. He had to die for you and me so that we would be saved in this century. But he prayed before. He shed blood.
That's right.
He prayed before he was hung on a rugged cross.
Yeah.
He prayed while he was hung on the cross. And he prayed for you and me. Father, forgive them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The people that are killing me.
Yeah, yeah.
The people that are hurting me.
Yeah.
The people that are making fun of me.
Yeah.
Forgive them ahead of time.
I
guess I got to preach that sermon while we were yet sinners.
Yeah.
That's coming up. That's coming up because some of y'all are looking at me funny. Yeah. Troubles will sometimes get the attention of people off of themselves and on to the Lord. See, this world has so many things it throws at you. You know, you got to make money. You got to do this. And God knows that, but you don't put you got to make money and your career ahead of God. That's what happened in the first place.
That's right.
You got to get your hustle on.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with the hustle, but God got to come before the hustle.
That's right.
Amen. So, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. God got to come before your hustle.
Yeah.
He can show you how to hustle legally.
Yeah.
Oh, he got to show you how to hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Acts chapter 4. I know I'm boring y'all. Y'all quiet on me today. Making me work hard. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 31 says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats, and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." Verse 30 of Acts chapter 4 says, "Stretch out your hand with healing power." I'm reading New Living Translation. "May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Verse 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all missing this. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Notice when you're praying, it's not in vain when you're praying right. Because God's going to do something with your prayer. He's just not going to do it the way you think.
That's right.
You thought if I prayed, Lord, this, that, or the other, I prayed for this, God was going to keep me. No. God, sometimes he's got to, what do you call it, scare you straight.
Yeah.
Scare the devil out of you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some of the characteristics which marked the early church was courage and boldness. You think you persecuted, man. Don't mention his name or we gonna kill you. Don't mention the name of Jesus and we gonna throw you in jail. Don't mention the name of Jesus. It's still getting like that now. You can mention God, but just don't mention Jesus. See, God can be anybody in it, but don't be specific and talk about Jesus. Dr. Martin Luther King defined courage and boldness as an inner resolution to go forward despite obstacles. Notice the Holy Spirit empowers us to be bold witnesses. You pray so you can be empowered. You need courage. Amen, somebody. I was somewhere the other day, just bear with me, and it was a celebration. And everybody was happy, and I was happy. And you know, I'm still who I am. I don't put down my religion because I'm out having a good time.
That's right.
And I know I have to, you can't, you got to understand the people and the times and all that. But when we were singing Happy Birthday, you know, old school, you know, I know Stevie Wonder pepped it up. Happy Birthday. I know he pepped, and that's cool. That's cool. But when I was praying, singing Happy Birthday, I did the corny thing in front of all these folk. May God bless you. May God. And people didn't want to go. And they forgot I got a big mouth. I kept, may God. And they started joining. Then I said, let's go. Happy birthday. You know, then I went with that. But I ain't slowing down like that. Ah, oh, may God. Anybody other than me need to be blessed by God? Amen. You needed God to get to the occasion. You need God to get home from the occasion. Amen. May God bless you. Whatever your role, wherever you are, whether you're in college or working for a degree, whether young or old, strong or weak, God intends to fill all of us with his spirit so that we might partner with him in the Great Commission. I'm hastening here. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, New Living Translation. Most of us remember the Great Commission. It says, verse 16, Matthew 28, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Verse 17 says, when they saw him, Jesus, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted.
Yeah.
We still got some of them now.
Yeah.
Maybe in here.
Yeah.
Jesus came, verse 18, and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because I have all this authority, go and make disciples of all the nations. When you're in jail, tell somebody about Jesus. When you're on the job and you get the opportunity, tell somebody about Jesus.
That's right.
When you're in the supermarket and God navigates the circumstances to talk, to tell them about Jesus.
That's right.
When you're in church, well, in church, no. You got some churches, they don't talk about Jesus. They talk about making money, but talk about Jesus. Yeah. Tell somebody about Jesus. Let somebody know that I serve the Lord.
That's right.
I serve Jesus. Teach them. God sometimes will allow us to go through. Me being an alcoholic so many years when I was younger. Now, I don't know about the other drugs, but I can tell you what alcohol. I drank all the time, working every day. You can still be hooked and working. Hey, man. Hey, hello, somebody. You can still be addicted and work every day. I drank every day. Still worked, but I was hooked on alcohol. But it was the Lord that freed me up. If it had not been for the Lord. Understand, as I hasten on, what the church and the people of God prayed for in the face of persecution and severe circumstances. The prayer was, listen, y'all, not to remove or take away the problems, but rather they prayed for greater boldness, greater power, greater witness. And God answered their prayer not by fixing the problem, but by changing the variables. See, after the problem, after the prayer, the meeting place shook. After the prayer. Changes didn't happen with your problem, but the place shook. God showed his presence. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, after the prayer, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It said after the prayer in Acts chapter 4, they were able to preach the word of God with boldness. It said after the prayer, all the believers were united in heart and mind. After the prayer, they felt what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. It's not your money. It's not my money. It's God's money.
That's right.
Hello, somebody. And the more he blesses you with, the more he wants you to bless somebody else with.
That's right.
Sometimes we place a burden on prayer that prayer was never meant to handle. You got people treating prayer like a magic formula, like a genie in the Bible. But our prayers don't alter God's plans. Am I right about it? Let me ask the personal question for somebody this morning. Listen. In here and out there. Have you ever poured your heart out to God in prayer about something only to have things get worse?
Yeah.
Let me see. Anybody here? You ever prayed and you prayed and you prayed and things didn't get better?
Yeah.
They got worse.
Yeah.
You ever prayed and say, well, I guess I don't need to pray if it's going to get worse. You ever just thought about it for a moment? I didn't say you didn't pray no more. But you ever thought about it for a moment? And guess what? Sometimes you don't want to pray.
That's right.
Be honest, somebody.
Right.
You don't want to pray.
Yeah.
I didn't say you didn't start it. But sometimes because you get disappointed because God didn't do this or that, you figured, wow, he can do this. He knows I'm on my way out. He knows I'm getting ready to be put out of my house. Why won't he do? God still said, I'm the provider.
That's right.
I know ahead of time what you need. Well, I'm getting ready to close, but we got to read this passage of scripture. Exodus chapter 5. And if you can't read it right, look, go back on Facebook or YouTube. You can watch this whole message over again. Exodus chapter 5, verses 19 to 23. Exodus chapter 5, verses 19 to 23. See, if y'all don't write it down, you don't plan on listening. And so it's over and over again. God says one day it'll hit you. Exodus 5, verses 19 to 23. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, the Israelite form in verse 19 could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, you must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day. And as they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. Verse 21, the foreman said to them, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword into their hands, an excuse to kill us. We praying and praying and praying, and things are getting worse.
Yeah.
Verse 22, then Moses went back to the Lord and protested. Why? He's talking to God. Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? Lord, why don't you leave me alone? I keep on preaching on Sunday morning to people that don't even want to hear. And then when I tell them you're going to bless them and you're in charge, they go and get in more trouble. Then they come back looking at me like I don't believe him. Verse 23 says, ever since I'm reading the Bible, y'all. I ain't making this up. Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people. And you have done nothing to rescue them. This is a frustrated Moses. Lord, you using me, but maybe you are using me. Keep telling me to go to Pharaoh. I got to conjure up the guts to go to him. And when I get there and I tell him what you said, he make the people work harder. I suspect Moses is feeling a lot of pressure from the people he's been representing. I tell you, it seems like the more Moses prays to God and confronts the enemy, God makes it harder and harder. Moses is frustrated. Moses is at a low point. I'm sure somebody in here can relate to that. You've been praying and you've been praying and you've been praying. You prayed this morning. I prayed this morning for anybody. Only a couple of people. See, okay, all right. Not everybody prayed. Okay, when you gonna pray? When you get in trouble? You think it's a genie? Just what I'm preaching. A magic formula. You're going to pray when you think you need to pray. And God says we ought to pray every day. Not just once, every day. You can pray on your way to work. You don't have to close. Just start talking. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. Somebody ought to be used to prayer. Maybe that's why God ain't answering your prayer. Because you keep on trying to treat him like some genie.
Yeah.
I'm almost done. Moses was confused and surprised because he didn't understand what God was up to. But let me tell you what confusion concerning God's ways can teach us. Y'all want to get this? Confusion can be a blessing. I know we say God is not the author of confusion, but God will use whatever it is for our good and his glory. What was meant for evil, God will turn and work it out for good. Y'all want to see how confusion worked out? First of all, what confusion concerning God's ways teach us, first of all, is that God's ways are beyond human comprehension.
That's right.
Stop trying to figure out God.
That's
what we try to figure out God based on our human limitations. Remember Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9? Says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, you can't keep up with me. That's why I'm God. All by myself. All by himself, Keisha. You're trying to figure out God. I'm so glad God doesn't stoop to our limitations. If God was like me and you, we'd all be in a bunch of trouble. We'd be jealous. We'd be angry. If things didn't work out, we start blaming the reason I'm this is because of this, that, and the other. No, stop blaming everybody else for your problem. You got to deal with your own problem. We like to blame shift. God said, don't start that. Secondly, we experience confusion because our minds are too limited to grasp all that God is doing. I heard one scholar, Bible scholar, say God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may only be aware of three of them.
Jesus.
10,000 he'd already done, and you trying to figure out three. One, two. He had 10,000. One, two. We used to call it slow. Three. I ain't going to use another word because it's getting trouble with saying it. Don't say it. Don't say it. They'll call, come and got and lock me up. We're not capable of processing all the intricacies of what the Lord is doing in our life, let alone in the lives of 7 billion people throughout the world. We busy trying to figure out what he's doing in your life. You ought to figure what we're trying to stay with where you are. Everybody's got an answer. Well, the reason they're going through is because that. The reason Pastor Pointy don't have this is because of this and this. That. All up in my business. You got your own. I'm getting ready to preach. On Bible study, I'm going to talk about hypocrites. Do a lot of talk. Y'all better stay tuned. Bible study coming up. I'm going to tell you how you can see and identify a hypocrite. They always tell them what everybody else, this, that, and the other, and they the ones. No, I ain't going to preach. Y'all come to Bible study. Come to Bible study. Thirdly, confusion. It's inevitable because we are short-sighted and impatient.
Yeah.
Our eyes are too myopic or limited.
Yeah.
Our thoughts are too narrow.
Yeah.
In other words, we only see today. We forget yesterday, and we're incapable of knowing what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
We forget about yesterday,
and
I know that God says forget about those things, but there's some things you need to remember.
That's right.
God is good.
Yeah.
Wasn't he good yesterday?
Yeah.
Somebody need to remember today.
Yeah.
The same God that brought you through all of that mess yesterday is the same God
today. Who's going to carry you through tomorrow? But you got to bless the Lord, oh my soul, today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, right now. In here, right now, all time, God. Didn't it pick you up? Didn't it turn you around? Didn't it place your feet on solid ground? I might not have everything, but I've got just what I need for right now. So bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Fourthly, we experience confusion because God is a loving God. And what I mean by that is that God's kind of love oftentimes doesn't make human sense. God's love forgives people over and over again.
That's right.
You know what we said, you done done it one time too many.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that God doesn't love me like you do.
Thank you.
Man, you done counted up all the times I done messed up. And you said, I'm done. I ain't gonna mention it, but people, I'm done. What means you done? I done done it one time too many, you done. Suppose God was done with your mess.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Can I let you in the secret? I've said it.
Yeah.
Y'all, anybody else may ever say, I'm done.
Yep.
Only two, three, four people. Honest people. You ever said, I'm done?
Yeah.
I ain't putting up with your mess no more.
Yeah.
And God says, I've been putting up with your mess.
Yeah, that's right.
Still putting up with your mess.
Still doing.
God is a loving God. Fifthly, confusion is necessary if God is going to show you how awesome he is.
Yeah.
The awesomeness of his glory. That's how the story of Lazarus ended.
Yeah.
John 11:40. Jesus said to Martha, did I not say to you that, here we go, if you believe.
Yeah.
If you believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not if you doubt.
Yeah.
Not if you need to know more before you believe. If you believe what I've already told you, you will see the glory of God. John 11:40. In other words, and I'm closing. Jonas, I'm going to leave all that other stuff out. One day, soon and very soon, God's glory, we're going to see it. It's going to penetrate or break through our clouded confusion.
Yeah.
I said one day we're going to see him as he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
See, you got to read the Bible not just one time.
Yeah.
You got to read it over and over and over and over and over again. You might have read it five times, but it's the sixth time when you really understood.
Yeah.
I said, one day, all this trouble is going to be over.
One day.
I keep on reading one chapter after another.
Yeah.
And sometimes I must admit, it looks pretty bleak and discouraging. But I found out that God will not quit on you.
Yeah.
He's working everything out for your good and my glory.
Yeah.
And his glory.
Yeah.
What God wants us to know is that we can build up a repertoire, a log, a story, a history of what it was, where I am, where God is taking me to. You do know that one day this life will be over. No more troubles. No more heartache. No more bills. No more relationships going away. No more people trying to kill you. No more trying to make it. We gonna see him just as he is. I don't know about you. I know one day the Bible says we all have to die. But after death, there's judgment. I'm so glad that I've already made a commitment. I belong to Jesus. Do you? And but Jesus says, I belong to him and he a part of me. And because of that, we're going to see him just as he is. No more troubles. I want to get to heaven. It's a prepared place. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man, no woman, nobody can get to heaven except by me. I'm so glad when this life is over, I'm going to move from here to a heavenly abode. Am I right about it? And then we'll see Jesus. Won't that be glad? But guess what? We'll see your mother. We'll see your father. We'll see your granddaddy. But the most important one is the Lord Jesus. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Prayer is not a magic formula. Prayer is trusting God for everything, through everything. And when God gets ready, if it's according to his will, God will answer the prayer as he sees fit. Prayers are never in vain. Don't stop praying. Just ask God before you pray. Lord, test me. Check me out. I want to make sure my prayer is not selfish. It's not a vindictive prayer. I want to make sure my prayer is according to your word, your will, and your way, and not according to mine. And when you do that, God will honor that. And in his timing, he'll do what needs to be done in and through your prayer. Somebody in here, as we rest on our feet, prayer is not a magic formula. But you know what? You really can't get the benefits of prayer if you don't know the God, the author and finisher of our faith, and the one who we're talking about praying to. The Bible says all have sinned, and God is not a sinner, really. God don't really have to bother with, but we all were sinners. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that we could come to this point. If you're a sinner and you've never acknowledged that you're a sinner, God says, this is your time. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you will be saved. Is there anybody in here and out there that's never acknowledged that they're a sinner? Bible says everybody has sinned and come short.